is released soon by Hamas.
Any person will be released is good. Eventually, we need them all.
CBS's Margaret Brennan.
Hamas is expected to begin releasing women and children first. At least three Americans in this first phase. Hamas could potentially release more civilians. Hamas has an incentive to continue releasing people because the halt to fighting will be rolled over, extended each time. Israel said for every 10 hostages, one more day of ceasefire. And for every hostage they release, Israel will release more Palestinian prisoners.
Some Israeli families also met with Pope Francis today at the Vatican. Here's CBS's Elaine Cobb.
That was 47 days ago. That my heart has been buried in Gaza.
Rachel Goldberg says she's still counting the days and praying. All said they were moved and grateful.
I felt that he was very compassionate.
His time is precious, and we are very grateful and thankful.
The Rainbow Bridge crossing that connects the U.S. and Canada near Niagara Falls is now shut down in both directions after a vehicle trying to enter the U.S. side of the border crashed. Witnesses say that driver seemed to be going about 100 miles an hour before the car fishtailed and exploded. Across the country, AAA says today could be the worst day for Thanksgiving travel, or you could get lucky, like this guy at Newark Airport in New Jersey.
We came in really early anticipating that it's going to be a huge line, but it is pretty reasonable. Nice. It's good.
If you're on the road, don't forget to thank a truck driver.
With some 55 million people traveling this Thanksgiving week, truck driver Benjamin Parks offers a timely suggestion.
If you see a driver, thank them. You know, whether it's a flatbed, dry van, reefer, a tanker, they play a part in our economy. You know what I mean? It's getting pretty bad out here, especially for drivers.
At least Parks can be thankful for lower fuel prices, which are about 40 cents a gallon cheaper than last Thanksgiving. Jim Crisula, CBS News, along I-40 in Durham, North Carolina.
Sam Altman is back at OpenAI just days after getting fired by the company.
OpenAI staffers, they're breathing a sigh of relief. One source just texting me a few hours ago, thank God. And Sam Altman weighing in, saying overnight, I love OpenAI.
That's CBS's Jolene Kent. Welcome to the jungle. Guns N' Roses frontman Axl Rose is getting sued by a former model who claims he sexually assaulted her in a hotel room in New York more than 30 years ago. The rocker hasn't responded to the claims, but has been accused of domestic and sexual abuse multiple times. That suit was filed under legislation that waived the statute of limitations. This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again!
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin travels to Minneapolis to battle for the Axe. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badger Sports Network from Learfield. On Wisconsin.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin DNR announced that the annual 2024 State Park stickers and trail passes will go on sale on Black Friday. Vehicle admission stickers provide access to more than 60 state parks, forests, and recreation areas across Wisconsin. Giving the gift of the great outdoors is great for family, friends, and coworkers. If you want to receive the sticker before the holidays, you should order before December 8th. The United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties Wreath Silent Auction begins soon. The bidding opens December 1st, but they'll be posting sneak peeks of the wreaths soon. The auction website will be linked at uwswac.org as well as on social media. If you're traveling today, expect the roads to be busy. The Wisconsin State Patrol says peak travel periods will be today and Sunday because of the Thanksgiving holiday and deer hunters. You can check 511wi.gov for traffic updates. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 27 tonight under mainly cloudy skies, west winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 37. 15 tomorrow night, mainly clear. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 42.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this November 22nd, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff. In part two at 3:30, we're going to talk with Kate Norby, Director of Development with the ODC. Looking forward to that. Right now, our good friend Lance Plimmel, Wood County Board Chairman, joining us right now. Lance, good to see you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, it's good to see you as well, James, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. It's always a pleasure to come in and have what I call the quickest, you know, like half hour of the week. It flies by.
It's good to hear. We do want to send a shout out to Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, usually in here to record with us, unable to be here, but they will probably grab the audio from this, so we appreciate the gang. Be sure to go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page, keep up to date with all the great things that they are doing.
And they don't know what to miss. I mean, you and I are looking really good today.
We look great.
I got
a
haircut yesterday, on a sport coat, you know. And
I don't wear my Versace very often, but I decided today, and sure enough, they're not in to see it. Well, you guys will just have to take our word for it.
You're looking pretty classy.
You yourself, my man. Lance, let's start with actually something you were talking about, we were talking about in our pregame here. You got out of the office today because not a bad thing. You love being at the office, but kind of nice because things are a little bit busy over there, people getting ready for the parade.
Yeah, you know, on a from a community standpoint, you know, and I encourage everybody in the community to be involved in something.
Yes.
You know, that's one of the problems I think we have a little bit generationally. There's a time here where people weren't joining organizations, they weren't becoming involved, whatever it is your choice of things to do. And that's what makes communities vibrant. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our office tonight has a pretty big presence. They've been working on it for a long time in our Rekindle the Spirit Christmas Parade. I think that's what we still call it. You know, so they're putting the final touches on a float tonight. But, you know, that goes with, it's just Thanksgiving. I mean, it's a time of year where you kind of reflect, you spend time with family. I know we were just talking prior to going on the air, you've had some personal family loss here recently. But, you know, you look back and, you know, one of the challenges that I find every year is everyone wants any child in this country or our community to have a positive outcome. And, you know, what I'm thankful for and lucky for is, you know, I was never cold. I was never hungry. I was never unloved. And so, you know, I have my parents to thank for that. And, you know, there's some kids today that don't have that opportunity. So one of the things we do in government is try to make sure that we have those safety nets. Now, that doesn't excuse, there's a responsibility for parents.
Certainly.
To do certain things for their children as they grow up to make them, you know, have a chance to be successful adults and happy lives. Not excusing bad behavior on parents.
Yeah.
But occasionally there's circumstances where government actually steps in. And so, you know, the thing that we deal with, probably the biggest thing all year, is the budget. You know, we just finished that and we start again in a couple of months looking at next year because although everybody says it's not always about the money, I got news for you.
Yeah.
To some extent, it's always about the money. That doesn't mean compromise morals or other stuff. But at the end of the day, if I don't have the funds to do it, I can't do it. We don't get to print money.
Don Allmeyer had a great quote. The answers to all your questions is money. Like, it always comes down to that. Whether we like it or not, it's just a fact of reality.
Yeah, I have to be able to support it. And so, you know, we just finished the Wood County budget. And I thought it was interesting because, you know, if you drive downtown Wisconsin Rapids, you obviously see the construction of a rather large facility. It's the new jail. You know, the other one was 70 years old. And there were some reasons other – we didn't just want a new jail.
Yeah.
I mean, there were things, you know, when doors don't open and you have problems like that and you don't have
safety
visibility.
Issues.
Safety issues. Not only for the people that are incarcerated, but for staff, you know, as well and for their well-being. So we're in that process. But the interesting part of that was the tax rate, the mill rate for the Wood County part of your tax bill is actually down this year. From $5.13 was the mill rate last year, and that's mill rate means per thousand, to $4.68 this year. So, you know, fairly significant. And so what that means is the average home in Wood County has a value of about $137,000. I would argue that that number's accurate. I think it's actually higher, but that's the Department of Revenue's estimates. So basically, if I took that average, last year you paid a property tax to the county of $687. Based on that value, this year it would be $644. So there's a slight decrease.
Do we know why there's the decrease?
Because there was an increase in equalized value.
Gotcha.
Across county. Counties, actually governments, are limited by net new construction. You know, we've lagged the state. We've had net new construction in each of the last 4 years under 1%. I mean, really, there's really not a lot of net new construction. But there was a revaluation of some of the properties, which brings down that mill rate. A lot of people don't understand that. I mean, you can assess property low and tax at a high rate, or assess property very high and tax at a lower rate. But at the end of the day, we're pretty steady. And that's been the goal from the county's perspective, is smooth that. Don't have any of those huge increases. By the same token, it would be nice if you had a huge decrease, but realistically, you're not going to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, gas is more expensive, oil is more expensive, paving's more expensive. I don't care what it, you know, as you've gone to buy your Thanksgiving dinner that you're going to provide, and you go to the store and you go, oh, wow, you know, a case. I just look at the other things. Things I buy. I don't grocery shop often, but, you know, went in to buy a case of, I probably shouldn't identify, a certain carbonated
beverage. Yes,
and it was non-alcoholic.
Yeah.
But, you know, a year ago, you could buy those on sale for, you know, $9, $8.99. You know, it's $14 when I went in the other day. You know, that's just one example. So everything's more expensive.
Well, I will say also, we did a report on the morning show this morning about the average Thanksgiving is about $2 cheaper this year than it was in years past. But to your point, with certain, like the gas prices are a good 15, 20 cents lower than it was last year, some of these things. But a lot of that is being corrected because of the pandemic. I think that prices, what might be cheaper last year or this year than it was last year.
Is only because it was up 100% the year before.
Right, right. So it's kind of balancing out a little bit. So that just... Not at all nitpicking your point, trying to add to your point.
Absolutely. You know, and that is funny when you use statistics. I mean, I laugh when they say, you know, the price of gas is down. It is from last year, but it's up by 50 to 60 cents over the time prior to the pandemic and some of those increased problems we had there and supply chain issues. You know, as we build this new jail, I mean, there's things that we ordered, you know, prior to the start of this that we're not going to have for another year.
I was curious about this.
You know, so as you try to stay on schedule and on budget, and by the way, both of those right now, I'm knocking on plastic
yes,
here,
yeah,
not
I'll
wood,
do it with you. Yeah.
But both of those right now are working out in that direction. That being said, you know, if you build this great jail and everything's set and you don't have the electronics to open doors, it doesn't help a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're on top of that every day. We're trying to do substitutions where necessary, but people are dealing with that at home.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You order a refrigerator because you're building a new house and you find out it's been back ordered for 8 months.
Yeah.
It gets kind of expensive eating out every day.
Right. When coming back to the budget a little bit with you, Lance, were there some other highlights from the budget that you saw?
You know, the biggest change that we probably had is, and you've heard this on the news, is the shared revenue change that came down from the state legislature. And there was a realization, if I go back, you know, 20, 30 years, the state basically covered, first of all, let me even digress further. County government is an administrative arm of state government. In other words, they pontificate, they pass legislation, we deliver the service. There's no Wisconsin State Highway Department, for instance. Counties do that. At one point, the state funded about 70% of what counties did. And over the last several decades, it went down to about 17% funding for the state, and you come up with the money. So, you know, you can say at the state level, we didn't increase your taxes. No, you made us do it.
Right,
and then you limited what we could do by the net new construction, the levy limits that were based on that. This year, the legislature really stepped up, and they said, you know, we can't continue down this road. It's impossible. So there's a new shared revenue package, which basically gives the county 20% of the revenue they garner through, you know, different taxation. So
it's a game changer.
It's a game changer. So for Wood County, that's about $1.1 million of additional dollars, you know, going into the coffers. And, you know, that's really important. The other part of this, and we've, you know, kind of kept our powder dry, so to speak, is we had about $14 million of ARPA funds. And we've expended roughly $2 million of that. Now, there's some people who've burned through all of that a long time ago. And there might have been a pressing need. You know, if you have lead pipes and water's coming into homes, you might have to replace that. But we've basically waited to see what other federal dollars came down in highway funding and broadband expansion, some of those things. So we still have that money available. So there was a, I'll call it an insurance policy going into this year. I knew if for some reason we couldn't handle some of the capital improvements that we had to do, there was some money there that I could have offset some of that. We didn't, however. And we still have those dollars available to look at what we would call legacy projects. So, but it's nice going in knowing there's a bank account, so
right,
to speak.
Right.
So, you know, the things that we're looking at in the county going forward is, you know, child care is still a number one issue. You know, I always laugh when I ask people, you know, well, what would you do if you were sitting in my chair? They go, economic development. I go, could you be more specific? What does that mean? I said, more jobs. They said, well, We actually have more jobs than we have people right now.
Right.
So how do we get more people here? Well, affordable housing. So, and child care. So child care is at the top of the list. Affordable housing. And that might mean installing infrastructure so builders can build, and then we recoup some of that on the back end. There's the readily qualified health program we're looking at, or health clinics, which would provide health care to some of those people that might not have the means to otherwise do that, which offsets other human service costs down the road. So, you know, there are some plans out there. And then there's some things that you've seen that I'd say the general public that just uses our parks might see. The build out of the mountain bike trails at Powers Bluff. That was a project we've been working on for years. We were able to fund the rest of that. So it's a never ending, never always changing game. But that's what makes it fun.
We're speaking with Lance Plumlee, Wood County Board Chairman, and more about the Wood County Board in a little bit, Lance. But you brought up child care, and I want to stay on that for a second, because we had Senator Teston on with us last Friday, and I asked him, we talked a little bit about child care, and him and I were talking, and I felt very strongly about this. I think going forward in this, just looking at Wisconsin, the biggest issue of our state, which is very hard to say, there's issues every state has, and every issue is important to a different person. But as far as an issue that affects everybody, child care is the biggest one to me. And getting that figured out, getting that solved in this state is crucial to not only the future of this state, but the future of our counties, our cities, our communities. Everything comes back to this. Everything comes back to child care. You can talk about anything you want, and I can tie it back to child care. And I know you could, too. We know how important this is. We know that I talked to Senator Teston about this. I talked to Representative Krug about it. We know that Madison is hearing us. I believe that they're hearing us about this. Is there anything we're trying to do on a local level or can do on a local level regarding this?
Yes. I mean, there's many contributing factors to, you know, why that's a problem, but it certainly is. And, you know, you've seen the number of two-income families increase just to make ends meet. Now, we could talk about why that, you know, has occurred and maybe happened, but that's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And child care needs to be available, and affordable child care, and safe child care. So when we looked at this from a county's perspective, you know, we looked at it, you know, maybe with a more narrow vision of how do we supply childcare to our employees to allow them or to make Wood County an employer of preference, somewhere that employees, and very many of those are skilled in very specific areas from around the state, want to come and work for Wood County.
Mm-hmm.
And while doing that, we realized, I don't think it was a brand new realization, but there's a childcare issue far outside just the county buildings.
Sure.
You know, so how can we make that happen? And then, you know, working with, you know, Senator Teston, Representative Krug, and Rosar, and Vandermeer, and Chang, and all the other ones in the area. I mean, there's a realization that we need to provide this. And not just available, and not just less expensive, but safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to know when you drop your child off for the day, and when you go to pick them up, that they've had a good day, and it's going to be beneficial to everybody. So there's a cost to that. Now, I think what they're dealing with in the legislature right now, when you're sitting on a projected budget surplus of, pick your number, $7 billion, seven plus, how might we use some of that money to make child care more affordable in Wisconsin and make Wisconsin a place where people want to relocate demographically? Because we're not seeing a growing population here, as you're seeing in some of the other states that maybe have, you know, maybe a more favorable climate to some.
I want to springboard off that, Lance, because that's a part
of
where I was going. I don't want to cut you off.
No.
That's the last thing I want to do, but I do want to get into, that's where I wanted to go with this conversation, because again, one of the most consistent conversations I have had with Senator Teston to Congressman Kind, any representative I've talked to over the years on this station, it's this, it's bringing population, keeping the population we have and bringing new people into the state. And I've heard a billion ideas to do this, lowering taxes, having no taxes, a flat tax, blah, 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 all this stuff. I'll tell you how you get this. I'll tell you how you keep people in this state. I'll tell you how you bring new people in. Take care of child care. Imagine that. You are the one state that's actually doing this right. In this whole union that we have, this beautiful country that we have, Wisconsin is actually doing child care right. If they could do that, if they could figure that out, that's going to bring people in. I'm not saying these other factors aren't going to play their part, but the biggest thing you could figure out as far as keeping people in state or bringing new people in is child care. care. Nobody's got this figured out. Nobody's been able to. And I'm not saying that I got the answers, but I do know that there are answers. We can figure this out. We put our heads together. We can make this work.
And there's not going to be, you know, a magic bullet.
No.
That solves it all at once. But we can certainly make incremental changes where we move that direction. And, you know, along with that, we look at, you know, more affordable housing. You know, we've had different municipalities that are, you know, averse to, I'll call them tiny homes or smaller homes. And I don't know that, and you can plan those developments with those, you know, 700 square foot homes, which are, by the way, way bigger than the apartments in Manhattan that they're paying $4,000 or $5,000 a month to rent. Where you do, you know, those planned unit developments where you have, you know, winding streets and street lights and very attractive homes, which makes it affordable. You add in child care to that, and now you're, like I said, we have jobs, but we have to attract workforce. And, you know, if I look at Wood County, you know, we've had a declining population over the last 10 years. So has generally most of central Wisconsin. And northern Wisconsin has been devastated. And, you know, and there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, part of it is availability of services, you know, and what contributes to that. And by the way, I use it, but, you know, online shopping. If you don't need to go to the, you know, mom and pop store down the road, and you order it somewhere else, there's less need there, and people tend to migrate towards, you know, larger cities. And although Milwaukee is a medium-sized city, it's still not, you know, and by the way, this is not a promotion to go anywhere else, but, you know, you know, you got young people that sometimes want to be in, you know, by the way, there's a lot of crime there, don't go. but, you know, the Atlantas, you know, the New Yorks, the Dallas, you know, I could name a whole bunch of them.
One of the things you just touched on, the small houses, smaller houses and that, and adding to that, one of the things that they tried to do in California was not do that. They are currently, for those that don't know, dealing with the biggest homeless situation they have ever faced in California, and that's saying something. I've spent a lot of time out there. I've got a lot of friends and family out there, and I've got friends right now that are literally a hair away from being homeless, and some that know, have family that are, but they're working. These are people, these aren't like your typical, or not typical, but what you might think of a person who is unhoused. It's a person, that image is not what it used to be. There's so many more people now in that situation that are hard workers, that are actually have a job, but they either can't afford the home that they have or things changed for them. Having smaller houses, having something like that, is not only a key to like maybe bringing more people in or keeping people here, but it's a way of maybe countering that, because this problem that they've got out there, it could happen here. It could happen in any state.
Well, you have to look at every option, you know, and that's certainly, you know, smaller homes, more affordable is one. You know, you go back generationally and generations of families basically live together. You know, I look at some of the places where, you know, my family grew up in, you know, great grandma and grandpa lived on the top floor. Grandma and grandpa lived on the second floor. The kids lived on the floor, or vice versa. I could never figure out in my situation why the great grandparents lived on the top floor. Those stairs were pretty rough. It happened. And you look at some of the municipalities that are either reluctant or averse or don't allow, for instance, mother-in-law suites to be added to homes, where generationally makes it much more affordable. I mean, if mom and dad have the ability to kick in, you know, an extra $500 or $600, $700 a month that they would have, you know, where they would have been spending $2,000 or $3,000 on rent to help offset the home payments. And you have a situation then where you maybe have built-in child care and you have somebody to watch the home when you're gone. You know, there's a lot of avenues here, and there's a lot of ways to look at it. And sometimes we have to take the blinders off and say, all right, well, you know, what are we doing wrong? What can we do better? And, you know, that's the only problem that I have with, you know, I'll call it partisan politics. I mean, we all have our views. But at the end of the day, sometimes you have to, you know, march to the party line or you're in trouble because you don't get the next appointment or you don't get to participate. I get that part. But the beauty of local politics is it's nonpartisan. Now, I can tell you that everybody has some bent, but when it comes to the end of the day and we're looking at issues, nobody's saying toe a party line. It's, you know, what can we do best for the citizens that we are most closely associated? They're my neighbors. I see them at the grocery store. I see them at the, you know, different organizations around town. You want to do what's best for them, regardless of, you know, D, R, or I after your name.
Right. We had Mayor Blazer in last week, or I think the week before, and it was right after a board meeting about the ATV law that they were possibly was going to be passed that wasn't. And I know that Shane was a little animated about that, and we don't see Shane passionate like that very often with certain topics, but his frustration seemed to be, in talking to him and in hearing some of his quotes on it, the idea of that this resistance of change and the idea of that. Now, I'm not speaking specifically about this particular thing, but as far as change goes in this area, we have a difficult thing and a difficult thing to work out here and to find a balance of. We have an older population that has a way of liking things and doing things, and that we want to take care of. That's a core group of people. You also have younger people around here and people with newer ideas and things that want things differently. And you want to keep that younger population here. It's very important to be able to do that. But you've also got a lot of people in charge that have an older way of looking at things. Finding this balance right now, Lance, in Wood County and specifically in Wisconsin Rapids, really, that's a big key of going forward here.
Yeah, let's go to ATVs, UTVs right away. Mm-hmm. I mean, for years, I was an advocate of we need to open up Wood County. Mm-hmm. We're missing out on tourism dollars. We're missing out on recreation. We're missing out on ways of life that a younger generation is adapted to. And it was extremely frustrating for me. And on the city council's view on the UTV-ATV issue. I'd hear, it goes back, and people who've known me a long time have heard me say this. It goes back to probably, the early 1900s, where they go, those damn horseless carriages are going to ruin America.
Yep.
We don't have a horse and buggy anymore.
Yep.
And I heard that, and I've read that, mm-hmm. the old books. Kind of the same thing with, UTVs. This is not somebody, on your version of the old, scrambler or something running in town. Little kid. We're talking $20,000 to $45,000 UTVs. I can tell you that are in way better shape with all the amenities that cars have.
Yeah.
And somebody's saying, I don't have to have another car. I can run 2 miles over to Walmart and load the back of it up and come home at a much more affordable price, much more economically, much better mile. All of those things wrapped in. And when I have cities like the Wisconsin Dells, I can ride my UTV in the Wisconsin Dells. I can tell you that communities that have not adapted to this way have suffered. Reedsburg's a great example. You could get to the perimeter of Reedsburg years ago in Sauk County, but you couldn't get into Reedsburg. And they said, well, that's not helping us.
Right.
So they get to the hotels. They get to the trails. They come in. It's something, like you said, we need to adapt.
Yeah.
We need to look at it. And then I get these, it says right on it, this vehicle not, intended for road use. Well, maybe in their original configuration, but they put highway tires on them. They have turn signals.
Right.
To me, that was a bad decision. And this is going to sound terrible, and I'm probably going to tee off some people out there listening, but there's nothing, as an elected official, you need to listen to your neighbors, and you have to talk to them. You have to be accessible. The reason I'm not nuts about referendums is I typically have a lot more information than the typical voter who goes to polls. In other words, the referendum might just say something. I'll use one with our county board. We want to cut the size of the county board in half, thereby reducing the cost by 50%. It doesn't reduce the cost by one penny. I have half as many people doing twice as many jobs, which means I have less people interested in taking on the position. And then when I have to appoint people to different commissions and committees across the state, I'm out of bodies. Because those young people we're talking about, they have jobs. They have children in sports and music and everything else. And time is our most valuable commodity.
Yes. Yeah.
So sometimes with all the information we get, we have to tell the public why we're doing this. We have to be accessible. We have to have public meetings. But sometimes as an elected official, you have to step up and say, I got all the information.
Yeah.
I talked to every other community. If there's a situation like UTVs or ATVs breaking the law, then write them a ticket or arrest them. Let's address the bad behavior. But that's one where a really good example of something pretty simple where you need to adapt or you're going to be left out and left behind.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. And that's a pretty easy one.
It's and this is a big topic to bring up with a minute left, but it's very similar to me to the marijuana in this state and what you're going to do with that. You've got every state around here and almost every state in the union legalizing this on a medical level, helping their ag industry, helping their farmers. If Wisconsin continues to be behind on that, they're going to get left behind on that. That's commerce. That's money. That's stuff that's being set on, left on the side there. You can have all the standings and all the moral compass that you want on certain topics, but society is continuing to move in a certain direction. And if you're not moving with society, you're going to get left behind. Time only goes one direction. There's a lot of things like that we can get into the next time we get to hang out, Lance.
Yeah, I think you'll see the medical marijuana issue pass.
I think so, too. I just, you know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, but no, you're right, but it's taken years to get.
But it'll be interesting to see with our community and the rest of the communities here in Central Wisconsin how we grow and adapt together, hopefully. Young, old, coming together. We're better together. We're stronger and smarter together. Lance, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of what we talked about today, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can find. I'm pretty easy to find. I'm in the phone book. I'm on the web. If I always hate repeating websites because nobody has a pen and writes
this down. Yeah.
If you happen to use a search engine, Google's probably the preference, and you type in Wood County, Wisconsin, you're going to find the entire Board of Supervisors, including all my contact information, as well as those others. I mean, the representative that you probably see at the grocery store in your neighborhood at the other events. Feel free to reach out and call us.
Always appreciate hanging out with you, Lance. Wishing you and yours a very happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, James. Appreciate the opportunity.
We'll take a break, and we'll come back with more on Midday Magazine here at WFHR.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
While there are many unexpected factors that can affect the next growing season, farmers have grown to expect the expected with Rank Seed. Our consistent top-end yields come from strict quality control, trusted technology, and local dealers invested in your success. Rank Seed has been a family-owned and operated business since 1846. More than 175 years later, we still have the highest performing genetics on the market in all environments. Expect the expected with Rank Seed.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Small Business Saturday is on November 25th, just a few days away. Here's Pete Schwaba.
Proponents say that for every $100 spent, $68 stays in the community. In addition to pumping money into your local economy, many retailers offer even more incentives. Be sure to check your town's local website for more information. The retail holiday was started by American Express in 2010.
The Rosh Holt Enchanted Forest Holiday Festival returns on Friday with approximately 120 lighted and decorated Christmas trees and winter scenes. This 30-year Portage County tradition is in the community building at the fairgrounds on Forest Street. It'll be open Friday through Sunday from 5 to 8. Don't forget, Santa will be stopping there on Saturday from 6 to 8 to get your Christmas list. On Saturday, December 2nd from 5 to 8 p.m., the FFA alumni will be hosting a petting zoo with kids' activities and refreshments. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 27 tonight, under mainly cloudy skies, west winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 37. 15 tomorrow night, mainly clear. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 42.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Midday Magazine for this November 22nd, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff here. We're welcoming into the studio today, Kate Norby, Director of Development with the ODC. Kate joining us on the phone. Kate, thanks a lot for being here.
I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate the time from you, Kate. The connection okay?
The connection's great.
Okay, good. Wanted to double check real quick. That's awesome. Kate, we're going to talk about a lot today. I want to encourage people to bookmark, if they haven't already, the ODC's webpage, odcinc.com, odcinc.com. Some of the things we talk about today, well, you can find right there. Kate, you are the Director of Development over at the ODC. What are some of the projects that you guys are piloting for the 23-24, for this year and for next year?
Well, today I'd like to highlight and talk about two projects that we have going. We actually started them. One of the projects started prior to my joining ODC, so it started in 2022, late 2022, and that's That's a project centered on entrepreneurship for individuals with disabilities, so people who want to explore starting their own business. And the other project that just kicked off this fall is on building community connections.
Let's start with the self-employment part, the entrepreneurship of this, which, by the way, that's not an easy word to say this early. You know, it's not always an easy word. I think when we think of the clients at the ODC, we often think about them being a part of other businesses and working at other businesses. Are we speaking about them starting their own businesses?
We are, yes. And absolutely, we support people working in the community and try our best to be an excellent service provider to help people join businesses and become co-workers of all of us in our day-to-day work. So that's a really great opportunity. But for some individuals, they may have a dream of starting their own business, or they may have a special skill or talent or thing they want to explore. And ODC applied for a grant and received it from the state of Wisconsin to really explore what entrepreneurship can look like. How do we support people who may have some unusual barriers or need some additional assistance in really developing their own business plan and launching and carrying through their dream of becoming a business owner?
Kate, if we could take just a second to pause and just appreciate the idea of this. I've been I've known about the ODC as long as I've lived here in Wisconsin Rapids. My aunt was a client there, and they really were game changers in helping her. And knowing about the ODC and the services you guys offer, this is something that I hadn't thought that much about. And the idea of this is just a beautiful thing just in itself. So just taking a moment for us to be able to appreciate the idea of this is fantastic, I think, and I want the audience to appreciate. But then there's the idea, maybe getting it going, and the hard work that can come with it. What are some of the biggest challenges for the clients there of doing something like this?
Well, first of all, I think one of the, you know, we really, this has been an option for service providers and for our voc rehab professionals to support people with disabilities to launch their own businesses, but it really hasn't taken off, not just in Wisconsin, but nationally. It hasn't gotten the traction that it really could. And I think with the rise of more freelancing, the gig economy, people with technology and people able to sell on online markets or just have access to different markets using technology, it's really, you know, it's really blossomed. So I think it's hit the table again and hit the minds of people who've said, you know, this has always been an option, but we really haven't ironed out or figured out how to really educate more people about this and support it. So the first barrier to, back to your question, one of the biggest challenges is just making people aware that this is an option. Mm-hmm. So I think often, unfortunately, it's a daunting idea for anyone to think about, like, becoming a business owner. It can sound scary or overwhelming, but I think people who with disabilities sometimes feel it's even out of further reach for them. So just sharing the idea with people or supporting the idea for someone who is interested or presents with a skill or a talent or something they want to explore is in itself one of the first hurdles.
Yeah, it really is an interesting, you know, day and age when it comes to the self-employment, when it comes to the gig economy. There are so many options nowadays for people to be kind of self-employed or be a free agent, if you will, a freelancer, whatever words or terminology you want to use. With that, though, when you focus on the clients at the ODC, that opens up a whole new world of opportunities and employment for them. And the idea of being your own boss is something that most people dream about and want and excel to. They're no different. They would like something like that too. That is a pretty unique opportunity for them. It's not only a chance for them to be self-empowering and build confidence and so many other things, but to be a great taxpayer in a big portion of their economy, their local economy. This all kind of adds up. It all kind of comes together and ties together.
Yeah, and you can really see it on the faces and in the words of the people that we're working with. I mean, there's a lot of pride and purpose in in becoming a business owner. And even those at the very beginning, just starting their business plans, I mean, you walk a little taller, you feel a little more confident, and you're willing to put in the hard work to make it happen. And some of us, with disability or without, you know, may find it more challenging to have a typical 8 to 4:30, 9 to 5 job due to whatever extenuating circumstances. And so some individuals that we serve, you know, this is such a great opportunity now with more freelancing, more small businesses popping up, more opportunity to do all kinds of work using technology or using local markets. Because honestly, there's good days, there's bad days, there's sometimes transportation barriers, other things that just sort of aren't here when you're managing your own business.
You know, it's things that I think that you and I, the audience, we're listening to you say that, and we're nodding our head that we can relate to that in our own lives. And then you add that onto what it is like for the clients of the ODC in their situation, and how the difficulties that could be arise from that. Kind of not only gives you hopefully a little perspective, but also some understanding of the not only the work of those clients, but the work of you and your team over there at the ODC. Kate, I'm curious, how do you approach self-employment services? What are some of the lineup of that? How does that work?
Well, the first thing we do is we talk to individuals who maybe we notice that they have a skill or a talent, and we say, hey, have you ever thought about selling this? Or have you ever thought about turning this into a business? That might be the first way we explore the concept. Or someone comes to us and says, you know, I really want to start my own business. I'll give you an example. I've been doing some public speaking, and it's going really well, but I'd really like to make money at it and turn that into employment. So we explore the concept with the individual, and we start to talk through assets and barriers. Well, what are you bringing to the table? What do you have to start with? And then what are some of the challenges? So we work through that process. The next thing we do is look at the feasibility, the way any business planning would work for any of us. And we, you know, we crunch the numbers, we do a market analysis, we talk to others who are running similar businesses and learn from them through informational interviews and things of that nature. So we explore the feasibility and then really help the individual understand, you know, what this entails, because you know, there's a lot of hard work that goes into operating your own business. So then the person can really make an educated and informed decision about, I want to keep going, I want to develop my business plan, I want to move this forward, or, you know, I really like this as a hobby, and or I do this sort of as a volunteer gig, I think I'm going to stick with that for now, for whatever reason. So it's a really nice upfront pre-planning to the business planning to make sure we're not rushing people into something that, and they have all the information to make the best decision for themselves.
Yeah, it's nice too, because it's a way of like kind of playing this out, well, you know, working through going through the motions without going through them, without actually doing them in some ways when you're talking this out. And, you know, people get, especially creatives, we get passionate, we get excited about an idea, and it sounds really good, but it might not always be, you know, something that you want to put all your time and money and effort into. And then on other sides, you may think you have a good idea and you bring it along to others and their minds are blown. Oh my God, that is a great idea. We should definitely do that. It can go in a number of different directions. It's also an important thing to me about this, when we were going back to what we were talking about with the gig economies, the idea of realizing the new world we're in and trying to gauge that. That is never easy for business. It never was, and it certainly isn't nowadays, being able to figure that out. So when you're able to talk these things out with one of your clients, you're really able to have a game plan.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And ideally, build a small resource team around the person that could be with them long term, because all of us rely on the support of others. If we're launching our own business or just getting through day to day, we can't do it all by ourselves, right?
Yeah.
We talk to our friends or our family, or sometimes we buy assistance. So I think one of the myths out there about, well, this couldn't, you know, is this for somebody who maybe has extra challenges? It absolutely is, because none of us really go it alone. And especially when we're building a business. So if crunching numbers isn't their thing, if managing the financial piece, there are resources they can purchase out of their business proceeds for that service the same way we all do. So we think it's really important part of this process to make sure we're building as much of a team around the individual the same way we would want if we were starting something new and going to be putting a lot of heart and soul into it.
And going back to a statement that you had there that I really hope the audience heard and felt, focusing on what a person can do, not what they can't. And I think that's a beautiful part of not only this, but of the ODC and something I think we can all take a little piece of in our personal lives. It goes a long way.
Yeah. I try to live that in my personal life. That's for sure, James. It really is a there's a lot of, and we'll talk about that more when we move on to the second project, but we can show up with seeing barriers and challenges and deficits, or we can show up with a more, I know it's cliche, but the half glass full and look for opportunities. And it's amazing what we can build upon when we take that approach.
I learned this the hard way. I had to rewire my brain. I had to do these things to be able to see the world that way. And I'm telling you, it's a lot better. It's a lot better world, a lot more beautiful world. And you see the opportunities in it when you take a look at what the positives and not so much the negatives of things with almost any subject we're touching on. The ODC also provides services to help people with disabilities as well as part of this.
Yes. Yep, we do. So ODC provides an array of services, whether that's help with more traditional employment services, some community day services, transportation, assisting people with community living. Have opened a mental health two mental health clinics. Just keeps growing, it seems like. So, but with this particular service, you know, we're really focusing on helping individuals do what they love, getting connected to their community, gaining independence, meeting their financial goals, becoming their own boss, which is something you already mentioned. A lot of us think about from time to time.
Yeah.
And making their own schedule. So that's the service we're learning to provide, and we're continuing to grow our skills and get good at this. And we have had nearly 20 people interested in exploring this, which is really great because that number may sound small, but it's actually large because our whole state, the number of people pursuing this option right now is much smaller than that. So we hope to grow it, to share it with other providers around the state, and hope others can assist people to do this alongside
us. Kate's not in the studio, so she can't see me, and I know this is an audio medium. None of you can. I almost jumped out of my chair when I heard that number. That's an awesome number right there. That doesn't sound small at all to me. That's 20 more. That's possibly 20 more businesses being put into our community, 20 more businesses putting into our economy in this community. That is big. That's something being created by the ODC and their staff and their clients. That is an awesome story to hear going into this holiday weekend. That's pretty cool. Are we seeing, as far as this goes, are we seeing some of the clients there? It's early in the process, I understand, but already seeing some people talking about this, some ideas being thrown around?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's people already test marketing their products and just really, really getting out there.
Very cool.
Because part of that process in the feasibility phase is make a few, sell a few. If it's a product you're making, or provide the service, see how it goes. And learning about those price points. So people are out there actively doing those things to start building their business plan.
We're speaking with Kate Norby, Director of Development for the ODC. And Kate, let's talk about that second project, the Community Connections, now.
Well, this one's amazing as well. I have to say, I know I'm biased because I do this work every day, but this one is around community connections. ODC received an additional grant from the state of Wisconsin to help learn how to connect people to their communities, better connect people to their communities. And we just launched this with a small team of individuals from ODC, some staff from ODC, and we're out there hitting the central Wisconsin community streets and helping learn about all the rich abundance in our communities and meeting with individuals who want to explore getting more connected and establish some relationships and a sense of belonging or reconnect if they've lost that. And already, just since launching this in September, we've worked with 12 individuals, and it's going really well. It's a really cool project that, I mean, I could probably speak for longer than anyone would want to listen on this topic, but I know isolation and loneliness is a growing issue in our country. Mm-hmm. And there's a coalition actually going on in Wisconsin to end isolation and loneliness. Nationally, there's just like hundreds of studies on this topic because we are becoming more disconnected, unfortunately, and there's evidence to that fact. So mm-hmm. like 50% of adults in the United States report feeling lonely and disconnected, and that's really staggering.
Yeah.
And the health implications are huge for that. So ODC, just, you know, people with disabilities are even more marginalized and have the potential to be even more disconnected. So we want to do something about that.
Right. And with this being such a big topic and something that really affects all aspects, young, old, rich, poor, man, woman, cat, dog, everybody's affected by this. Knowing that going into it and then understanding your clientele, it can be a little bit different and even more so a situation for them. How does the ODC help with something like this? How are you guys helping with people with disabilities build connections?
Well, we use that same strength-based approach we were talking about earlier. So first, individuals are, you know, coming to us and saying, we're getting the word out, hey, we can do this and help you or help someone you know. And so we have people reaching out to say, yeah, I just moved and I don't know anyone. Or I was very connected to my community, but something changed and I've lost that and I want to rebuild that. So we receive interest, and then we sit down with people, and we just get to know them, and we say, hey, what are you interested in? We want to really, there's so many ways to explore community, and not everything is important to everyone, right? So it's really about honing in on the things that the person wants to explore, what their gifts are, what their strengths are, what's important to them, and then taking them out in the community and making introductions and, you know, experiencing things with them, and then eventually we back out because the goal is that ODC isn't involved in these relationships long term, but we're building relationships that sustain themselves.
I love that the first step of this is building a relationship. It is actually talking to somebody, talking to a client, talking to somebody that is struggling with this and finding out, how would you like to be involved? What would you like to do? Not necessarily saying, hey, go over here, get involved. It's more so talking to them. And so it already starts from a beautiful place, I think, and from a place that's organically going to be a big part of the process of this, of, okay, so you care about this organization or this kind of cause, so you can be a part of this maybe and volunteer with this, or maybe meet people doing these kind of things, and it just springboards from there.
Yeah, and we have some tools we use to do that, because if I asked you, James, you know, what are you interested in, gosh, like, that's a big question, right? We talk, you know, we have ways to really help a person hone in on things they may not be thinking of, and so, you know, we use some tools and skills to do that, so that a person doesn't feel overwhelmed by even the question of, well, what do you want to do? Where mm-hmm. do you want to go? So it's a great process, though. And already we've seen some just really cool things happening and some beautiful things happening.
I've mentioned earlier that the ODC has been a part of my life for a long time and how much I care about the work being done there. I have a lot of personal feelings about it. But I also, part of what I've always loved about the ODC is what it helped me realize with my Aunt Pat. She was like a big sister to me more than an aunt. She is like a big sister to me more than an aunt.
Yeah.
And when it comes to, I looked up to her so much. She was a gymnast. She was actually in training to be a U.S. Olympic gymnast and these things. And
yeah.
I looked up to her so much after her accident and her mind changed. She was different,
and I lost that part of it, and I found it again through the ODC. My Aunt Pat started working at Shopko. She started doing more things. Right now, she is in Florida traveling, living her best life with her husband, who she did not have anything like that in the possibilities before all this. The thing that I take from the ODC, along with all that other stuff, is I look up to the clients over there, to you and your staff. I find get me motivated. There's so much of that from the ODC. I think when it comes to something like this, that's another thing that the ODC can offer to our community that would inspire us. We see somebody, a client from the ODC, out there volunteering or doing something. Hopefully it encourages others to do very much the same thing.
Absolutely. And I just believe that our communities, to have a real community, everyone needs to belong and be part of. So not just showing up, but having reciprocal relationships, being known, being missed if they're not there, really becoming the fabric of our community. And I agree with you, James. I'm newer to ODC. I've actually only been with the organization for 4 months, but it's a true pleasure to wake up every day and be supporting the mission for all the reasons that you just shared. What a great story about your aunt.
Kate, the next time we get together, I'd really like to get to know you a little bit more. I usually do that when people join us the first time. You had so many great talking points and so much to get to. I wanted to make sure to cover that. But next time, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to get to know you a little bit more, okay? Just to warn you, just so you know.
Oh, boy. Okay.
We do want to wrap up letting people know that this, whether either project we're talking about, but the community connections, this is something that all the things Kate and I have been talking about, it's also really fun and rewarding. I want to lose sight of that. There's a very fun and rewarding way of being with your community.
Absolutely, it is. I just said I enjoy getting up and going to work every day. But yeah, this particular, the community connections, I mean, we're exploring, our connector team is exploring our communities in a way that we haven't. So we're noticing things in our community, the richness, the assets, the people, in a way that it's surprising, James, like you live somewhere for a long time, but you might always wonder what actually goes on in that place. Mm-hmm. And so we're out there meeting businesses, meeting civic organizations, different groups, different spaces of natural beauty. And there's just so much opportunity and richness there. Mm-hmm. And then also this is just really helping us meet new people. ODC does a really nice job of building community already and being part of the community, but this is taking it to a whole new level, and we're taking it outside of some of our home base of Wisconsin Rapids and Marshfield and some of those central areas that we're typically working in. I mean, we're out in Merrill, we're out in Wausau, we're out in some of the neighboring communities as well. And so it is really fun and really rewarding.
It's a beautiful thing. We've really enjoyed talking with you, Kate. Thank you so much for the time. As we're wrapping up, I do want to remind everybody about Small Business Saturday. Be sure to buy local, support local, get that passport and bring it on over to Milkweed Market. They are they are on the passport. So you're going to have to go over there, get that checked off and get some great products, locally grown, locally made products right here in central Wisconsin, and support the ODC through the Milkweed Market. We greatly appreciate everybody out there doing that, and appreciate you, Kate. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, James. Have a great holiday weekend.
You too. Have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy. We'll talk again real soon. Thank you.
You as well. Bye.
And I want to send a big thank you to all of our guests throughout the whole year here on Midday Magazine. We greatly appreciate all these different organizations and people taking time out of their day to join us. A big thank you to the greatest listeners in radio, all of you out there, and a special thank you to Pam Hilke, the amazing scheduling she does day in and day out around here. We appreciate you. Have yourselves a great holiday. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at WFHR.
It's 4 a.m., Monday. And you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus, thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack, triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.